I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Israeli Air Force has been pounding the northern part of the Gaza Strip today. We've been watching as these strikes take place, not just from the air, but also from the ground. They're using artillery units along the border to hit different Hamas and Islamic Jihad cells. They are working to clear a path to ultimately have ground troops go into Gaza. That is according to the country's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, who I spoke with earlier today at the Kiryat, the Israeli Pentagon in Tel Aviv. We had a small meeting, just a group of six journalists and the defense minister, asking him a number of questions about the situation as the war enters its 21st day. Moments after that meeting, rockets were fired toward Tel Aviv. But a little bit about what the defense minister told us. He said the country is preparing not for weeks, but for months of war inside Gaza. He wouldn't give us a precise day, but said that soon Israeli forces will enter the Gaza Strip. He talked a little bit about the lead up to this and said he did not believe Iran directly ordered the massacre on October 7th, but indicated they have trained and supplied funds to Hamas and Islamic Jihad for years.
And that's a fact. They have been supplying to Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthi rebels in Yemen, and various other terrorist groups, because they know all we have to do is to give them the money and let them go about their way. They will cause chaos, destruction, and death, all in the name of a jihad. We've known that from the beginning. And yet this administration, in the beginning, if you recall, on October 7th, 8th, 9th, even through the 10th and 11th, we see no direct signs between Iran and the Hamas invasion of Israel. You guys are either really stupid up there in the intel departments, or your mouths are being taped shut and someone else is speaking for you. But if you didn't see it and the general public can see it, there's your answer right there. That was a report from Trey Yangst on the front line for Fox News. He's been doing an outstanding job. I want to give him credit for that. And, of course, the death count continues to escalate on both sides, partly because of the bombings inside Gaza, because Hamas will not let civilians go free. They want them there as shields. They want them blown to bits. They want the video of it so they can post it for the world to see how nasty and mean Israel is. And, of course, they were more than willing to show what they did to Israeli citizens, unarmed children, babies, so they might spark a universal jihad. So far it hasn't happened, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. The Israeli military, as you were hearing from Trey Yanks, they say that we're ready to start moving in. Ground operations will start expanding, but they're not going to give a date, understandably. And any date they gave, I'd consider suspect. And even when they start making some prong moves into various areas, probing moves, I would not say that that's the beginning of the full ground invasion. It's exactly that, probing, finding out what intel they can before they commence, to save civilian lives, save lives of hostages who might still be alive, maybe get some of them out, and, of course, to save members of the Israeli Defense Force. Thank you for joining us. You're in the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here every night for you, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., right here. This is October 27, 2023. If you miss any part of the program, you miss the first hour, you end up having to miss part of this one, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get everything, both the audio and video, because we are streaming. While we're on the air, we're streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and also News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter. So you can find us in any of those. And actually, when you look at the numbers, it really dilutes it. In fact, sometimes I'm kind of amazed. I see a big blow up in numbers on Twitter and other numbers fall off, and I don't know why people choose one or the other, but that's there for you to make your decision. And you can watch it at your pleasure. You don't have to watch it while we're doing it live. You can pull it up later. But then when you do, please share it with others. We want more to see and hear it. And in fact, as I had stated earlier, I'm going to do it again. I don't think the other stations are going to like it, but for these 2 hours in the evening, they pretty much have bailed out of this kind of stuff. They can't compete. Cannot compete with LCUSA. Good. And I want you to also keep in mind the sponsors that make this program possible. When you have a need for what they supply, please use them. And if nothing else, call and simply thank them for keeping us on the air. I take what we're doing here extremely serious. Quentin and I are dedicated to making this the best 2 hours of radio program that you can listen to. And it's got a lot of working parts to it. All right, so while Israel was hitting targets in northern Gaza and some of their ground invasion moving forward, as Trey Yanks was reporting, U.S. jets were hitting targets in Syria, and they had very good reason.
The U.S. does not want this conflict to spread, but the administration feeling it could not let the spate of attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria go unpunished.
Overnight, retaliation. In the skies above Syria's border with Iraq, a pair of American F-16 fighter jets targeting two munitions facilities the Pentagon says were linked to a spate of recent rocket and drone attacks on U.S. forces in the region. Both facilities, says the Pentagon, aligned with Iranian-backed militias. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying the United States does not seek conflict and has no intention nor desire to engage in further hostilities, but these Iranian-backed attacks against U.S. forces are unacceptable and must stop. There have been at least 19 attacks on American forces in Iraq and Syria, leaving nearly two dozen U.S. service members with minor injuries, including symptoms of traumatic brain injury. The attacks on Americans escalate as the war in Israel heats up. Earlier this week, President Biden warning Iran's supreme leader.
My warning to the Ayatollah was that if they continue to move against those troops, we will respond, and he should be prepared.
And I hope Biden backs that up. She said there have been 19 attacks. Apparently that's been documented, and nothing serious, but then she adds that some might be brain trauma. If that's your son or daughter, that's not a minor incident for you nor for them. Now, how extensive it is, we're not getting details. But I will also remind you, while we do not have boots on the ground in Israel or Gaza, at least as a fighting force, if they're simply in the theater, be they on a carrier or on a jet flying into Syria taking out targets, they are in harm's way. So keep them in your prayers. And we may well have some members of the U.S. working as special rescue operatives along with the Mossad and the Israeli Defense Force and some sent by United Kingdom to try to get hostages out and get them free of any danger. We don't have full details on that, and nor should we, because we don't want anyone's lives in jeopardy, because the old saying from World War II is true, loose lips sink ships. So we don't want anything getting out at that point. Now, the only problem is about going after these targets in Syria. We have known they've been there. We have known they have been there all this time. We knew what they had in them, so it wasn't a matter of deciding, do they really have it? We knew they had this stuff. We knew it, and we were doing nothing about it at that point. Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup says, it's about time.
We should have done this a long time ago. That's what strength looks like. You know, these groups are Iranian-aligned for sure. They've been attacking our troops, and we responded by attacking one of their storage facilities that is also aligned with Iran. As has been said, this is a form of self-defense. They provoked us. It was retaliatory. Their attacks had largely been unsuccessful, fortunately. And I would say that this is separate, but in some ways aligned with what Iran is doing, what Hamas is doing. So they're all tied together. We have to show greater signs of strength around the world.
And they are all tied together. You'd be a fool to think that Iran is not supplying the Syrian rockets that are being fired upon our troops, nor Hamas, nor supplying Hezbollah. Obviously they are. But the other part of this is an intel officer who has been watching all this for many years, now retired, serving as a Fox News analyst, Don Bramer, says in an interview with Maria Bartiromo, he said, you look at the Syria strikes, you look at the buildup that's taking place in this theater, this is escalating.
I think what we're seeing in Syria is a response that the United States has to do. You know, we have approximately 900 troops in Syria and about 2,500 U.S. troops in Iraq. And this, while some people might think that the airstrike and what's going on in Israel is related, and it could be in some ways, this is a message to Iran. The United States will protect our forces, we will protect our assets, and these airstrikes were about safeguarding and protecting American lives, which we should do at all costs. Now, right now, you see the largest naval and maritime buildup in the region in over 40 years. That is a message to Iran. Do not think about engaging. If you want to play this out through your proxies, you can do so. Your rhetoric, your propaganda, that's all you can do, and you should stay out of this.
Yeah, but Don, I'm wondering if this is too little too late. I mean, let's face it, you know, we haven't even been talking about these attacks on our troops, and it's been going on for a long time.
Marie, it has been, and it's about time that this administration does something. You know, I've wondered through this entire cycle, is our Pentagon and in our White House, are they on the same page? I applaud Secretary Austin and the generals and military leaders for finally standing up, taking action, and not letting political correctness, not letting the administration's panderings to its progressives and its squad, and finally protecting our country and our assets.
Yes, that's exactly what we need to be doing. It is nighttime in Israel and the Gaza, and yet Israel continues to pound away targeted raids. There are reports also that a large series of explosions have rocked Gaza City. There are reports of some outgoing tank fire as well as the Hamas troops fight back. But they've got round of artillery going into Gaza, according to one report, and multiple impacts reported in Gaza and Gaza City. One reporter said a huge wall of smoke literally blew out of Gaza. And what they hit, not clear. Israeli television has been putting a lot of it on the attacks as they're sending rockets into Gaza. They're going to soften the target as much as they can before they have to put boots closer on the ground. But they're already inside Gaza with tanks, armored equipment, and personnel. But they don't have the full force assault underway. Now, if you're going to ask, how did we get here? How did this suddenly happen? That's a good and very big question. There is no easy answer when it comes to the Middle East. You're talking about hatred that's gone on for thousands of years, not just between Israelis and Jews and Muslims and Arabs, but also inside each of their own groups. They've had their own infighting. But if one answer stands clear, starting in the Obama years, we clearly began to see a conciliatory, apologetic report and approach when it came to being a strong nation.
Iran is a problem. Why has this administration and the Obama administration been catering to Iran? They have been a problem for us since 1979 when they took hostages from our embassy. We should not be catering to them. We need to continue to show strength. And look, you saw a difference between the Obama administration and the Trump administration. And now you see the difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. Both Obama and Biden have emboldened Iran, and they're part of this axis of evil. So when they make these accusations about the United States being involved with Israel and genocide, they clearly are ignoring facts and trying to spin the story.
And they are spinning the story, and there are those who buy into it rapidly, without question. You know, I have told you, reference this program and any comments I make. If you have any question, doubt about it, check the sources. I often give you sources so you can go direct to them. Verify what I'm saying. I would never ask you to follow me blindly on what I say. You should never do that. But what we're looking at right now is this escalation, and we're seeing the spin machine in full force for Iran and Hamas and Hezbollah, and behind it, operatives for it are right here inside our country under state-controlled media, as I call them. They just suck this stuff up. They don't bother checking. Facts? What's a fact? They would have no fact idea. You're right. I came close to another F word. But that's also an F word, fact. They don't know that one. And then they have this push by the Biden administration. Okay, we're going to help Israel. Let's get them $14 billion. But it's going to be part of another $60 billion for Ukraine, another money here and there. In other words, just put it all in one big bill and shove it forward. And if you don't vote for it, if you will not vote for that, then you are really against Israel, aren't you? That's what they're pulling. That's the game that's underway right now in the Biden administration and the Democrats. Biden has a $105 billion bill, $14 billion of it for Israel. Now, the difference money amount between $14 billion for them and $60 billion plus for Ukraine can be substantiated on the basis of what they already have in Ukraine, how big of a theater war that is compared to Israel. But that's not really the storyline. The storyline is they want to shove it all in, and you don't dare vote against those of you who are tired of paying into Ukraine, not knowing what's happening. That's why it's all linked in there. And here comes Ohio Senator J.D. Vance says, break it up.
We have $14 billion in a request for Israel. I support it. Probably 99 of my colleagues do support it in the United States Senate. It's virtually unanimous. On the other hand, you have $60 billion for Biden's approach in Ukraine, which I think is not in America's interest. Why not have separate debates? The only way you can do that is to separate the packages. There's another component to this, Larry, which is the political strategy. What Biden is trying to do, knowing that Israel aid is popular, is he's trying to use it as a fig leaf to shove an open borders proposal down our throats. If you look at the border funding of the supplemental, it has nothing to do with border security. You're basically just facilitating the in-migration of illegal migrants and then transporting them all across the country. We're funding it. That's what the supplemental does. Why would we allow Joe Biden to pretend that he's helping Israel when all he's doing is really further opening the American southern border? It's bad politics. It's bad policy. And I think most Republicans won't stand for it.
And it's very dangerous policy for the U.S. security. And yet it's all part of this big bill that everyone's supposed to sign off on. No, break it up. Coming up, for all those foreign students in our country on visas who are siding with Hamas, Iran, the annihilation of Jews and Americans, maybe we should start deporting them. What do you think? That is still to come up. We'll get into that subject in more detail before we wrap up this hour. But first, the gun laws that are in existence now and the killer in Maine and what might have been missed. My guest, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith with the National Police Association, going to break a lot of it down for us. And then a Marine with an idea that I think I'm probably going to disagree with. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There's some things it's going to take time to figure out about this main shooting and the suspect and everything else, but we do know that at least 18 are killed so far, that including a father and a son slain in a bowling alley. And then, of course, there are a lot of questions about what his background was and what got missed. To that extent, let me read to you Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, said we had some yellow flag gun control laws that should have been triggered before the mass shooting, and a response from the commissioner in Maine dealing with that said, I'm heavily involved in yellow flag conversation overall, but the reality for today is I'm not going to talk specifically about who knew what and when. So it's a very dynamic situation. But the yellow flag, red flag laws and the others and calls for even more laws were laws that already on the books ignored anyway. Let's bring in Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, retired 20 plus years in law enforcement, now a spokesman for the National Police Association. Sergeant, glad to have you back on board.
Hey, it's great to be with you as we continue to watch what's happening in Maine. It's a difficult time, and there's a lot of adult conversations that we need to have as Americans.
Well, of course, you know, the first thing you're always going to hear is, get rid of all the guns. The guns are the issue.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. We're not going to get rid of the guns in the United States. About 60% of people in the United States own guns. And quite frankly, with what's happening in Israel, I think America has realize yes. that the Second Amendment is there to protect us and for us to protect ourselves, you know, not just from a tyrannical government as was originally intended, but from real bad guys that are out there. And that's one of the conversations that we need to have is let's not forget these were gun-free zones, these two places where the shootings took place. And that's why one of the bartenders had to rush the guy with a knife and got killed doing it.
Right.
What if that bartender had a gun?
Yeah, might have made a difference, might have put it into it right there. But, of course, many will quickly say, I'm going to be the devil's advocate as much as I hate on this issue. Oh, well, he might have shot and killed some innocent person instead of the real gunman.
Well, and you know, that has happened, you know, famously in the Barstow, California McDonald's shooting a couple of decades ago. That actually did happen. But we've got to look at the totality of the circumstances. This is something that cops do all the time, right? When we are forced to use deadly force, we know that we've got to pay attention to our background and all of that. But 18 people are dead and 13 more are in serious condition.
Now, what
so
about
I think.
Go. I'm sorry. Go,
go ahead.
Ahead.
I was just, no, I just think it could have changed the situation, right?
You would think. You would think. I mean, obviously, I've been amazed, quite honestly, in areas like in Texas, like in that Walmart shooting. There was only one person in that Walmart shooting that had a gun, and he knew how to use it, but he was actively trying to get children to safety as opposed to going after the gunman. So I'm not in that situation. I would not argue what his decision was. Obviously, the children ended up being safe, but I would have thought in a Walmart, you're going to find more than one person with a gun in Texas, but apparently not, because people either are afraid of guns or they think, well, you know, we just shouldn't do that. I don't get that lack of common sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right on that. And people are now, especially now, are fearful to take what would be the right action, because they don't trust their prosecutors. They don't trust their political leaders not to vilify them,
right,
if they take action as a citizen. And that's why, you know, the National Police Association, we talk about this all the time because we are the most pro-Second Amendment police organization out there. We tell people, if you're going to carry a gun or even have one in your home, make sure you understand how to use it. Train with it frequently. Don't just buy a gun and throw it in your underwear drawer, but make sure you know what you're doing.
So what about the flag laws, the yellow flag law they have in Maine and red flag laws and others where a neighbor knows I have a gun and they don't like the way I'm cutting my grass. I'm letting it grow too high. And they call police, say, this guy has a gun. You might need to check him. It gets that careless if it's not adhered to properly.
Well, and that is the problem with red flag laws and yellow flag laws, which are just tighter red flag laws. So the yellow flag law in Maine just says basically a doctor is about the only one who can ask that somebody's firearms be taken away. Just because you take away somebody's firearms doesn't mean they can't get more.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're going to just give them up to you. What we have to talk about in this country is involuntary committal of people with mental health issues. That instead of talking about red flag laws that are nothing but a Band-Aid and are easily abused, which you absolutely just said, instead what we need to do is get a handle on the mental health crisis in this country and, again, have a grown-up conversation about people with mental illness. Robert Card should have been either in a mental health institution where he spent 2 weeks last summer and then signed himself out, or he should have been in prison, because this is a guy who threatened to shoot up a military installation.
Right.
That's either you're mentally ill or you've committed a very serious crime. One way or another, you should not be walking around in society.
So that underscores the fact you've got a law on the books, you're not enforcing it. So why you want to put more laws on there? I mean, and why wasn't that enforced at that point? That's an obvious signal, alarm, alarm, alarm.
Because the more that the politicians can talk about gun control and the guns, the less they have to talk about the actual problem in this country, which is evil, which is mental illness, and which is a lack of law enforcement, because law enforcement has been run off the job in this country. And we have now about 75 George Soros installed prosecutors who won't properly prosecute gun crimes in some of the most dangerous cities in this country, including Chicago, L.A., New York, St. Louis, New Orleans. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a long list. But now we have not just, and I'm glad you brought up, first thing you said was evil. Some people are just evil. They're gonna do it whether it's a mental issue or not. That you could say no one could do something like that unless they were crazy, but there's still elements there. And we also now have open border, and we know that we have terrorists probably that have been using that to sneak in and come into our country. Not really sneak in, walk in.
They stroll. I'm sitting 80 miles from the southern border in Arizona right now, and I see these illegals in the airport with their brand new iPhones, their brand new clothes that you and I bought. They've got an EBT card. They've got cash and they're going anywhere they want. And these aren't just little families from Central America. These are military age men from Middle Eastern countries, from North Africa, from Venezuela, from everywhere in this world. We have no idea who they are and no idea why they're here.
Senator John Kennedy in Louisiana had four or five of the higher ranking DHS employees in front of him yesterday, and he asked them repeatedly, do you know how many are here? No answer. Do you know how many of them are children? No. Do you know where they are? No. Not one answer. In other words, we don't know anything. We don't know what we don't know, and it's going to come back to bite us in the butt.
Well, right now we have whistleblowers that are coming forward and talking about just the number of children who were turned over by the federal government to people that we now know were not related to them,
right,
have no stake in their, you know, their health or their well-being. This is basically a human trafficking operation, you know, child trafficking operation put on by the federal government. And now, and we know that we have at least 1.7 million gotaways that we have no idea where they're at and, again, why they're here. You know, 99% of these people claiming asylum, the asylum claims are false, although the Biden administration is trying to change those laws. But a great deal of them are not here to do the citizens of this country any good.
Yeah, and those children are in my prayers every night. What is it going to take to have the adult conversation on the mental health crisis?
You know, every time we have one of these instances, I say, well, this has got to be it, right? But not yet. You would hope that this man, Robert Card, murdering 18 people would make us have that conversation. We've also got to have the conversation specific to our military members. This is the at least the third time in the recent past that the military has failed to notify anyone about a mentally ill member of the military who has gone on to commit a horrific mass shooting. And so that's a problem as well.
And I would have thought after the first one, even the second one, that gap would be closed, and yet here it is again.
And the same thing happens with the FBI. How often do we hear that, oh, this shooter was on the FBI radar? Oh, yeah, but we just hadn't gotten around to doing anything about it. We have broken systems when it comes to mental health and firearms. And we've got to stop politicizing it, first of all. Stop talking about Band-Aids like red flag laws that really do no good. And start talking about making sure that we are trying to keep the majority of people safe. Most people are not mentally ill. Most people are not criminals. But what we have done is we have become overly tolerant of the rights of the mentally ill, and we're ignoring the rights of law-abiding citizens who just want to go have a nice life.
Absolutely. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith with the National Police Association. As always, I appreciate your time, and I thank you very much.
Great to talk to you.
You bet. Protect your six out there, obviously. So coming up, there's a Marine that did a piece about a year ago that went on YouTube about what he thought should be done about gun control. I will tell you, as a Marine, I don't buy everything he says, but let's break it down for you. Still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired.
homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary, when what deep in love, yes I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My name is Matthew Gordon. I'm a retired United States Marine and spent 2 years as a rifle pistol coach at Weapons Training Battalion, Virginia. I was sitting and thinking, if I was in Congress, what would be the bill that I would put forward right now? It was like an epiphany hit me that, wait a minute, we're restricted while we're in the Marine Corps up to a certain rank if you're living on base. You're not allowed to just freely possess your weapon on base. If we're going to implement these restrictions on service members who are defending the Constitution, it only makes sense to me that that same restriction would be imposed on civilians out in, you know, the real world.
Well, as he identified himself, weapons training and a retired Marine, he put that post up about a year ago. I wanted to go back to it because with all this talk about, again, more gun control laws and what do we need to do, he's right on the point that when you're on a military base, and I don't know if the rank has changed from what he points out there, but when I was in, no one was allowed to have a private weapon. And, of course, you were only allowed to have the munitions and the weapon you were issued for going to the range unless you were MP duty or things of that nature. But I don't like the idea that just because they were doing that on a military base, that that's what we should have for civilians. I don't believe in that. I believe you should be able to carry it. I mean, that's the whole issue of the Second Amendment right. The other problem, you recall that Dr. Hassan in a military post down in San Antonio had a weapon. He just started shooting soldiers and killing them. And not one of them had a weapon available, not even their normal military weapon, because they're all locked in the armory until members of the military police get on the scene. There's no way to stop him. To be on a military base and not have some way to protect yourself, in a war zone, everyone's carrying their weapons anyway. Could there be an accidental fire? Yes. Could there be an intentional fire? Two guys get upset, or women, not just guys. Yes. That happens in the real world as well.
But I don't like the idea that he's proposing. As he said, if I were a legislator, why don't we just have the same rule that you can't have a weapon? That's coming from a Marine. I'm really almost appalled at the remark. But let's go back to his statement and picking up on the USMC rules as he was explaining them.
If you are a private through a sergeant and you're living in the barracks, and you personally own a firearm, not the firearm that is issued to you, but your personally owned firearm, you are restricted on where that firearm is allowed to be stored. You are not allowed to keep it in your barracks room. You have to go and register it with the provost marshal's office on base. Then they issue you a receipt showing you where your weapon will be stored and when you can check that weapon out. The Marine Corps, the finest fighting force on the planet, is saying that those individuals should not be responsible for firearms in their barracks rooms. That's not the way it is in the civilian world. In the civilian world, you can walk into a gun store and walk out with two AR-15s and 1,600 rounds of ammo and just go live your life. Why is the Marine Corps more restrictive with Marines than a kid who's 18 years old and hasn't graduated high school is in the state of Texas?
I totally lost me in that analogy as he was running around in it. There's so many things to break down. He was almost indicating it's not a big deal to go buy an AR-15 and ammunition. No, it is. You have to sign for it. Now, as far as having weapons on a base, again, I never had a private weapon on base, so I don't know, really. I never had to register with the provost and turn it over to them and then pick it up, sign out for it when I would leave the base. I have to admit, I don't know what the rules are now. He's been in more recent than I have. But at the same time, you can't take that attitude. If he's saying the Marines do it this way, so that should be the same thing for the civilian population. I hear somebody out there saying, well, you Marines are probably a little bit more mentally ill than the rest of the population. Just because we're called jarheads, is that where you're going? Stop it. Now, you might push me over the edge here yet. But then, while he's doing this, he comes up with what he proposes as a three-step so that I will have to find some agreement with.
What I would like to see is some level of training and some level of recertification every single year to show that you're not only proficient with the weapon that you're doing, but you understand that weapon. Doing like a three-step kind of permit process where you have to go to an 8-hour gun safety course specifically for the weapon that you are looking to purchase. You have to go spend a day on the range proving that you're safe and competent in the handling of said weapon. And then third is a permit that states that you will safely store and maintain your weapon so that if it ever does show up being used in a crime, you're held liable for it. And I feel like that those three steps right there are simple and easy to, it doesn't infringe on anybody's right to own a firearm. It just puts it into a better perspective.
All right, let's accept the fact that, yes, if you have a firearm, you should know how to use it properly. And I do have an issue with states such as Missouri and others now that you can buy it and you don't have to go through any training course. That I am opposed to. I think anyone that gets one who's never been around weapons and use them, you should get some training. Police officers have to go to the range. I don't know now if it's quarterly or biannual, but they have to requalify at least once a year, that I know, to prove that they could still fire properly and everything else. That's what you should be able to do. An 8-hour study course, if you already know the weapon, you don't need 8 hours. That's just a number he pulled out of his hat. That I would go against. But you obviously know you need to store a weapon properly. And here's the first start. You do not leave a weapon chambered in your house where a child can get it. And I stress this over and over again. How many times have I had to tell you about a child pulling a trigger on a weapon and killing another child or themselves? That's because if it's a pistol and it's an automatic, semi-automatic, let me correct that, jump the gun, no pun intended, a little bit, but it's a semi-automatic. But if it's got a bullet in the chamber, it's very easy to pull the trigger, and it's going to go off. But a child cannot ratchet a shell into the chamber. They don't have the strength. They just wouldn't be able to do it. But bottom line, even if they could, you put it in a safe storage area. When I grew up, my father had a pistol, a revolver. It was on a shelf in his closet. I knew where it was, my brother, but we knew not to mess with it. We don't touch it. He would take us out, go hunting and shooting. Sometimes he'd let us shoot that pistol, learn about it. But otherwise, unless he's involved, we don't touch it. So training is essential, and I'm going to agree with that. But again, this retired Marine has some additional thoughts.
I have never once been a person that says we need to round up all the guns and just ban them forever. I know that's not a solution. That is never going to happen. There are too many guns in this country that are already in circulation, so that's not going to happen. I'm not naive, but I don't think that it should be as easy as walking into a Walmart and buying a box of Captain Crunch to walk out of a gun store with two AR-15s. We have to do something different this time. We have to. My children should not be afraid to go to school.
And neither should yours. That is true. But buying a weapon is not as easy as buying a box of Captain Crunch. Come on. All right, now I want you to hear from another viewpoint that Quentin found that also talks about if you're going to have a weapon, you need to know how to properly have it and use it.
Where should you keep your gun at if you have a kid in the house?
Okay, let's go back. How old is your child when you teach your child firearm safety? Okay, let's just say you keep your gun in the safe, right? You send a little lockbox right next to the bed. Okay? Middle of the night, boom, you hear somebody kicking your door in, they're hauling to your room, ready to spray you up. How long is it gonna take you to get that gun out of the safe? I can leave my gun on the counter if my child already knows firearm safety. Now, go back to my question. How old should a child be before we teach them firearm safety? Garbage. How old were you when your parents taught you not to stick your finger in the light socket? Touch the stove, play with knives. You couldn't even talk. But barely could walk. Perfect example. Some stuff you just didn't play with, right? Mommy and daddy taught you look left, look right, look left before you walk across the street. Did you play with traffic? Some shit you just not gonna do.
Yeah, you know, there is, again, some common sense in there, but there's also, you're not going to be showing a 4 or 5 year old how to use a pistol. No reason to do that. 6 or 7. Maybe when they get to later age of 7, closer to 8, you get them enrolled in a hunting course and they go through training. But that's not the same as teaching them you don't stick a screwdriver into a light socket when they were 2 years old and toddling around. If you don't cover the light socket, you're the responsible one in that case. There are a lot of arguments over this, but it comes down to gun safety is essential. If you're going to own a weapon, you must know how to use it. You must know how to keep it safe from others. It can be used accidentally and deadly. And everyone should recognize if you're going to point it at someone, it could end in a fatality. You don't aim a weapon at anyone unless you plan on using it or you are threatening that you're going to use it if they continue doing what they're doing. There are no easy arguments here, but again, sometimes we try to simplify things so much that we miss the point. The first point being gun safety and proper use. Proper use means legal use. All right, we continue to witness rallies, demonstrations on college campuses, where student groups are shouting, death to Israel. They're exercising their First Amendment right, but if they're going to be foreign students here on a student visa, Newt Gingrich has an idea.
Here in the United States, first of all, anybody who's here who's not a citizen who is participating in anti-Semitic rallies should be deported. They should lose their green cards or their student visas. They should be gone. Second, we should enforce the law which already exists, which requires all these major universities to publicly state where their funding comes from. Because I think between the Chinese and various elements like the Iranians, we would be shocked at the depth of penetration in our system. the Congress right now should be actively investigating the fact that there are at least four Iranian agents working in the Defense and State Department. Literally, people who are Iranian agents, the key person making policy under Obama, turned out to be an Iranian agent. It's maddening how much we have allowed people who want to destroy our way of life. And remember, death to America and death to Israel aren't just slogans. That is the goal of the Iranian dictatorship, and we are sitting passively. And it's as though we'd ignored Stalin and we'd ignored the Soviet Union, and we'd been unwilling to deal with the reality of communist penetration. That's where we are today.
And we don't want to offend anyone. Oh, my God. You might offend someone. You deny them a job because of their Islamic background? Are you denying them because of their religion or because they believe in a jihad against America? There's where your point is. But he is right about if these students that are here on visas and they're going to protest against our nation and call for death to America and death to Jews, then yeah, we should deport them. Oh, First Amendment rights, Larry. Yes, they have a First Amendment right. They exercised it. And we have a right. We don't want you in the country anymore. Right now, I'm looking at some of the latest stats that were something like 1.4 million active records for F1 and M1 students in every region of the U.S., all four regions, Northeast, Midwest, South, and West, saw an increase in international students between 8 and 11% in all those regions. Not all from the Middle East, obviously, and not even those from the Middle East were involved in wanting to harm or carry out jihad. But we're just looking at stats right now, not background and knowledge of what they're doing. And I'm not saying you deport all foreign students here. We're looking at what are they doing and what are they engaged in. F1 student visa. It's an academic student visa allowing you to enter the U.S. as a full-time student at an accredited college, university, seminary, academic high school, elementary school, or other academic institution or in a language training program. That's a good idea if it's done properly and the people that are coming to learn and not coming to destroy our nation or cry out, I hate America. If you do so, then why are you here? Then you have the M1 visa. You must be enrolled as a full-time student in a vocational or other non-academic program. You must have a high level of proficiency in English, or you must be enrolled in an English language class. You must be financially self-sufficient for the duration. This is a non-immigrant permit valid only for 1 year. Students may apply for an extension up to 3 years. But we have many of them overstaying their student visas. We know that. And who's to police and do anything about it now? Not this administration. So we have, again, no idea how many have overstayed their visa already. So they can cry all they want about their First Amendment right. You shouldn't even be in the country. You've overstayed your visa. You're out of here. Or if you're going to participate in these rallies and you're going to call for death to Israel, death to Americans, you go ahead and do it. You go somewhere else. And many of you that are doing that, you might be part of the LGBT community. Do you want to go to one of those Sharia Muslim countries where they'll kill you because of your sexual preference or identity? You want to try shouting about your freedoms then before the axe falls across the back of your neck? We have gotten too coddling in this nation. We're not raising our kids with a strap occasionally that is needed. I'm not talking about beating kids. I'm saying punishing when due and proper punishment. Teach them a lesson. You will do better by it. They will do better. Our nation will do better. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.